The Roark Advantage for the win. Seriously, when you get a free inspection oil change for the life of the car, what else can you do better? Used and new cars get the Roark Advantage. Roark is community-oriented as well, such as Roark is sponsoring a lot in the community, like the parking lot and fun shows with comedians and musicians. Check yourjagoff.com for details, and of course, check roark.com for all of your vehicle needs. So now we start the Your Jagoff podcast from Washington County.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define the word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the You Jagoff Podcast.
Listening to the Jagoff Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, we ask you to just take a second and subscribe to it on wherever you get your podcast. We come out every week, three or four guests every week, always doing things around Western Pennsylvania, talking about the cool stuff, maybe some serious stuff, but some fun stuff. And so subscribe to it, maybe even leave us a note on iTunes if you could. All right, we talk about what's on the blog. As you know, every day we point out jagoffs on the jagoff.com blog. People that are making the rest of us Western Pennsylvania people look stupid. So the bad news is that one of our very own was a jagoff post, and she wrote it herself. It was Rachel. Because we've been driving around in this, as you know, Roark Honda is our sponsor. We have been driving around in our Roark Honda CRV hybrid, which is awesome, by the way. And it is filled with, I can't tell you how many, but thousands of hockey balls in the back. And Rachel kind of forgot one day when she was going to put some equipment into the back of the car, and she pulled the hatch open. And she was flooded with balls into the parking lot of Johnny Angel's Kinchy Stuff. So she wrote herself up as a jagoff at that particular day. And we posted, I can't believe the fervor this blog post had. That ad, Lots of Money, the Pet Boys song, and the Horn Ornament Sings, we posted them as a jagoff, and God, everybody seems to hate that commercial. So we fell right in line with everybody. So that's what was on the blog this week. And we also encourage you to listen. Star 100.7 every Monday through Friday at 4:55 for the Jagoff Daily Dose of Happiness with Kelly. And on Fridays, Alista, around 10:55, whenever we think about it, we post the Jagoff for the week. So that's what we have. That's all the housekeeping stuff we have. And now we have two guests here who we're going to go right to. Our guests this week are not all Washington County based, but our first two are because, A, they're our hosts, and B, they're awesome. And we have Jeremy. Wait till you see. We can't show you on the podcast the artwork that Jeremy has done, but when you're listening to the podcast, we'll put links so you can see his artwork. And our favorite barbecue guy, Doug Dirt, is here from Yin's Love Barbecue. Where else would we bring a Yin's Love Barbecue guy than to this place that has all these fresh meats? All right, Alisa, John, you guys are the Washington County representatives here. Tell us what – this is such an awesome place here. We're here at the Marketplace, mm-hmm. but you have other businesses as well. So, mm-hmm. Alisa, tell us a little bit about your business.
Well,
first.
Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to Washington. Welcome to the Marketplace at Emerald Valley. And so we're on 145 South Main Street. Don't go North Main Street. You'll be lost.
Right,
so
right.
So we're going to get you to South Main Street. Down here in the historic South Main Street district, we're like two buildings up from David Bradford's house.
Right.
Yeah, so we're in a little history lesson there, heart of the Whiskey Rebellion. So, you know, we're a bunch of rebels down here. So welcome.
And you're really close to, if anybody's ever been to the Whiskey Rebellion party.
Yeah, right here.
This what do you call party. This? This pavilion. This is it.
The Patriots Pavilion.
This is where they yes. tar and feather someone
every
year.
We tar and feather
year.
Right here.
Right. Right.
If we're allowed to do that again, I think that's up for debate.
It's a sensitive topic right now.
Well, right now,
isn't it?
Yes. We live in an altered universe right now. So, yes. Right. But yes, I've watched them tar and feather actually a number of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so
interesting.
So tell us about the marketplace here in Emerald Valley mm-hmm. in general, because we know you as cheese and mm-hmm. meats and all
yeah.
this, but
yeah.
tell us about the business here.
Well, I'll be happy to do that. So the marketplace at Emerald Valley is the region's kind of collection of what's the very best in the agricultural basin and the entrepreneurial spirit that's in this southwestern Pennsylvania region and now beyond. It's really kind of growing. So what we do is we're farmer to farmer direct. I'm a fourth generation dairy farmer myself. My farm's in Scenery Hill, Washington County, and we're on the historic National Pike, and so we love that whole history and working together. So what I do is I have been doing cheese for like 20 years, hanging around Pittsburgh, been to a lot of events, seen a lot of people, and I see who's doing it, and it's doing it well, and I'm interested in what they're doing. So I go and I find out about their products. We go to their farms. We really want to know them. So this food has a face on it.
Okay.
So there's something you want. We don't just tell you it's local for the sake of throwing that word around, because I think that gets a little bit like, overused sometimes. So what does that mean? Well, I want you to know who the family is. So if I'm going to tell you this yogurt came from Lone Oak, I want you to know something about Lone Oak. If you want to ask me questions, we'll be able to answer that for you. So what we do is we collect that. And what you see inside of this shop is 95 to 98% local and regional, whether it's meats, cheeses, baked goods, jarred goods, and everything in between. We have beautiful teas from a female veteran who does the Skirted Soldier. I love that. We do a lot of veteran-owned businesses in here, a lot of women-owned businesses. But the point is that it's a celebration of, A, the agricultural basin that is so rich here. And I think we don't ever want to take that for granted. And I think COVID has really provided that, point of reference for us, kind of made us stop and think about what's important. And so things like being able to eat really fresh, wonderful tasting foods that came right here. They're from local businesses. It's a celebration of that. And it's also a celebration of the entrepreneurial spirit, which I think is really in great abundance here.
Which you feel when you walk into your business.
And we're creative too. Sometimes we have to stop. We can't create anything more right now. We just have to stop. But it's what we like to do best. We'll get a product and we'll go, how did that inspire us? I'm like, oh, we'll do this with it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking we're going to do maybe a mac and cheese with bacon and pork rinds on top.
Is that going to happen in the next 5 minutes?
Not in the next 5 minutes, but I think it is coming soon.
I don't think it's really fair to do that.
Somebody said pork rind, and I was already thinking mac and cheese, and my brother-in-law says, put it on the mac and cheese, and I went... Maybe.
Makes sense.
Yeah. There was a little alcohol involved in that conversation,
too.
Hey,
one good thing leads to another, right?
That's the perfect segue into my neighbor, my fine friend and neighbor right here, because he knows all about alcohol.
So, John, you tell us a bit about your business, but, that was your business involved? Was your the alcohol? Was your alcohol the spirit behind Elisa's talk?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
There's some things we don't talk about once they're done.
Let them go.
So I own a few businesses, and we started off with A&M Wine and Beer Supplies. It's located right down the street from the marketplace at 202 South Main Street. And we sell everything you need to make your own wine and beer.
Oh, cool.
And then we ventured from there into opening our own winery. And so we have a winery. We have some fruit wines. We have a lot of red wines. Most of our grapes come from California. And then 2016, the wife was yelling at me about something, so I bought a building and built a brewery. Because it seemed like the right thing to do.
Wait, because you wanted a drink to not hear the yelling?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what Ange was saying that led to that down there.
I love how he dubbed that excuse to start a brewery. That's very, very manlike. I like it.
So our winery is the Washington Winery, and then we opened up our brewery, which is the Washington Brewing Company. And so we have 8, 10, 12 beers at any given time.
Okay.
And our restaurant is actually run by Bubba. From Bubba's Brews, Bubba's Burgers. So he does all of our food. Everything's craft and pretty high end on the restaurant side. And then when the COVID started, I was sitting around with a bunch of beer. I didn't know what to do. So I opened a distillery. And so we literally are, it's super small. We only have a little bit of quantity right now. Our actual still should be here sometime at the end of June. And then we hope to open up our tasting room and right around the 4th of July weekend and right before the Whiskey Rebellion Festival. And so how does this tie back into Lisa?
Yeah.
Is literally the only place you can get our booze right now is here.
Okay.
At the marketplace.
Yes. And it's in there. And it's,
yeah.
And we've sampled it, you know, for the quality assurance portion of the program.
Because no question.
We really just feel like that's our obligation. It's a heavy burden.
Yeah.
And then, but the distillery is B&B Distillery.
Okay, B&B Distillery. Okay, this is awesome. So, you know, in general, let's take us above the 10,000-foot level at this point. Washington County, it's a half hour away. You know, you don't have to cross any bridges like people always complain, but there's so much to do down here.
It's
like, you guys are here, but you invested your life. You guys are from here, but if someone's listening to the podcast, and we got people from out of town, they come home, what should they do when they come down to Washington County? There's a whole list of things.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, if you're just even coming to the street and you just want to, you know, explore what's happening here, you have one, two, three really high-quality distilleries, and they're literally within walking distance, but you can drive it, too, because it's easy to drive around here and park. It's not stressful. You know, it's not heavy traffic. So you can kind of chill out, but you can do, you know, a nice, you know, tasting at Red Pump. You can roll down to John's, and John has all that alcohol he just mentioned.
Right.
And then you can go around the corner, and you go to Liberty Pool.
Yeah.
So if you like that. And in between, you've got, like, some history, because you do have David Bradford House, and you've got, you know, the Historical Society does a lot of with the educating, and they do a lot of touring. And so you have all of that going on. And you have, you know, some nice little delis that you can stop, and it's like a casual kind of thing. We've got
everything's,
you know,
walkable.
It's very walkable.
You park one time, and you walk around, you drink, eat. You can get drunk, sober up, and get drunk again and eat.
Multiple
right?
times.
And then go home.
And then go home. You know, like, or get on 40, you know, because this is 40 out here, and that's the National Pike.
Oh, right.
So if people are making a day trip, you can head east. And if you go to Scenery Hill, which is where we're from, you can always go to the Century Inn, which is one of the most historic places in the entire country. It's the oldest continually operating tavern, bed and breakfast restaurant in the United States.
Is that right?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Absolutely. And so, and it's really so rich with history. They have, I believe, the only remaining Whiskey Rebellion flag.
Oh, get out of
town. Hangs in their bar.
That's
and
very cool.
So they, you know, they sit there. You can have a wonderful meal there. And then you can go on out and you find your way up into the Laurel Highlands. You're going to end up in the top of the, you know, Uniontown Mountains. So now you're at Christian Clay.
Right.
Ridge Runner, Stonehouse, and then on out, and you go to Ohio Powell. It's just a nice little thread.
I think we need to get a Rorick Honda Odyssey and have these guys just take us on a tour.
Let's go. But
John, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, so Clay from the Historical Society, and he's a wealth of knowledge about our area and the history. I've been trying to talk him into doing carriage rides. And so we're close. You guys should all try to contact Clay at the Historical Society.
Pressure Clay.
He literally will not like me for saying that. But
no,
we
he
can
will
get
not.
Him to do this, and you can come down and do carriage rides and history lessons. It's super fun.
The history lesson is really, quite frankly, pretty cool because we work with Providence Point, and Providence Point is up in Collier Township. We did not know that that's where, like, what's his name's house burned. Literally on the top of that hill. And when you come down there, the David Bradford House and the history behind it, it's a history lesson that you never learned in school.
No.
And it's so practical because of the whole, you know, how people showed up here at the David Bradford House. And he was, and how they show, they have, what's his name's, Alexander Hamilton's picture upside down.
Upside
right?
down, you yes. know? Yeah. Down at Liberty Pole, yes, absolutely.
Those are the things you don't understand, but that's totally cool. Wow. So this is awesome, and we appreciate you guys having us down here. The funny thing is this is so Pittsburgh of a podcast because we showed up, the sun was out, then it started to hail, and we said, should we go inside? And now the sun is back out again.
Yes.
So
there's
a guy who just wants –
There you go.
He had his big drink.
Welcome. Yeah.
You had a cleaner joke than I did, John. Yes. Because we know what guys with big trucks have. All right. So, anyways. All right. So, where do they find you guys online?
Well, if you want to find us online, you can go to themarketplace.farm, not .com, .farm. So, everything you need to know about what happens inside of here is at themarketplace.farm. We have a virtual farm stand. Yeah, so you can shop, just like Amazon, 24 hours a day. You can place your order. If you want that delivered, we can certainly do that. We are all over the burg. So we're every week we deliver all around the Washington and Pittsburgh region. We're all over the place. I don't know. I got a lesson yesterday from my driver about how far Glenshaw really is off the exit. He goes, it's not right off the exit.
Yeah.
I went,
That sounds like Rachel's kind of direction.
Who knew, you know? Yeah. So you can certainly get your product delivered. That's never an issue. We keep that really up to date because we're working with the farms, and you're always in transition season-wise. Never more than you are right now because you're coming into spring. So, you know, the produce is starting to come out of the heated greenhouses. But then pretty soon, if it doesn't hail and snow, you know, maybe in a few weeks we're going to have some field-grown stuff too. But we're always updating that. So you can window shop there if you want to just see what we have and then you want to come on down and find us at 145 South Main Street, you can. But the website, themarketplace.farm, is always going to keep you up to date. If you want to call and you have questions, 855-67-GOT-COWS is the number. And I do have got cows.
Yeah,
that's how we got that number. So it's 855-67-GOT-COWS. You know, and we'd love to have you come down and support. There's over 60 small farms and businesses that we represent in here.
That's awesome.
So it's really our honor is to represent them.
Yeah.
Because I really, you know, work really for them and on their behalf as well as my own. So it's you know, to me, the best part of my job is whenever I'm able to, you know, get on the farms or work with the businesses directly, you know, because I'm one of them and we're both trying to figure this out together.
Nice. John, where do they find you online?
And so you can find us online at thewashingtonwinery.com or at thewashingtonbrewingcompany.com. And obviously we're Facebook and Ed.
And Ed.
Watch yourself on the cord there.
Don't trip,
there
Ed.
You go. All right.
He's a distiller. We need him.
He's one of the other distillers.
Gotcha. Got it. All right.
So, go ahead. And then our phone number out, by the way, because it was kind of funny.
Yep.
724-222-WINE.
Oh, you guys are good at this. All right. Before we let you go, we have a question of the day. We are grilling and chilling today, right? So when you are grilling and chilling, what is the one side dish you must have? Elisa.
Oh, well, I'm going to disappoint everybody, I think, because the one side dish that I'm going to have is going to have to be a whole slate of perfectly seasoned grilled vegetables.
Nice.
I just have to have
okay.
that.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Me.
John?
And so when I fire up my Big Green Egg and I do a little bit of grilling, I honestly love to have grilled asparagus.
Okay. Wow. There you go. So,
we're eating clean down here. Except maybe later this week when the bacon mac, cheddar mac and cheese with the pork rind shows up.
And John will be sitting outside your door, right?
That's all right.
That's awesome.
I hope a lot of people are sitting outside my door.
Very cool. All right. Thank you guys so much
for
having us. And as we go to a break here, you're going to hear Jason Kendall. And coming up next is Doug Durda, who we haven't seen forever from Yin's Love Barbecue. Boy, it has been a while since we've seen Doug Durda. You've gone through the process here through this whole COVID thing, huh?
We've had it, we fought it, we've eat it, we got the shots, we're all good, and now we're back to smoking meat, so life is good. And it's beautiful out now. I was saying off mic, I'm like, this is typical Pittsburgh weather. You know, southwestern Pennsylvania, where you get four seasons in one day. This is
literally,
it's blue skies and sunny. And 15 minutes ago, it was hailing.
Right, it was hailing. Right, exactly. So, Doug, you are down working out of home and doing all your stuff, and you use this COVID time. You know, some of our musicians come on and they talk about how they've written songs and they've practiced and they've taken on another instrument. You took this time over the last, what is it, year to beef up, so to speak, Yin's Love Barbecue website. And you originally started the website about where can people just find barbecue around the Pittsburgh area. Now you're like taking over the entire Western Pennsylvania area.
I wasn't expecting to cover all of Western Pennsylvania, but there was a big ask from a lot of our fans. They had said, you know, it's great that you're covering Pittsburgh, but we travel. Where can we, you know, if we're going to make a day trip up to Erie, my hometown, you know, where do we go? And I thought about it, I'm like, well, that's a lot of work. I don't know if I can actually figure this out. And then, boom, pandemic hits, and I'm stuck at home.
Yeah.
I'm not traveling. I'm not going anywhere. So I started to look into it, and I reached out to some of the restaurants up in Erie and along the way. And the big thing was I just asked the fans, I'm like, where do we go in Western Pennsylvania? I know Pittsburgh. I know Southwestern PA, and I know Erie, but there's plenty of places in between, I'm sure, that we could go to. And when we first started the website 5 years ago, so fifth birthday
is
coming
up. Isn't that
crazy? Yep. May 12th, we started the site. It originally started because we had five places that we knew to go to. And I had talked to a lot of the food writers, and this came off of Should I Drink That was starting to wind down. I was really getting into food, and everyone was asking me about barbecue, and we came up with about five or six places. I'm like, that can't be right. There has to be more around here. So I started to look into it. Yin's Love Barbecue was born, and I had about 30 sites or 30 different restaurants listed. I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. We have a lot. So now coming up to the fifth anniversary, there are 70 barbecue restaurants in the greater Pittsburgh area.
Wow. And is that
70?
Is that actual plants? That's not like does that include food trucks that maybe don't have spaces?
So it does include food trucks because some of the restaurants turned into food trucks because of COVID and everything that happened. It wasn't feasible to keep up a restaurant, so they turned to food trucks. And there really aren't a lot of food trucks in that mix, maybe like six or seven. So there's still 60-plus restaurants in southwestern Pennsylvania, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
When I looked at that list, I went, oh, my God, I have a lot of eating to do and a lot of eating to get caught up on. And then I expanded to Western, like all of western Pennsylvania, and there's 100. There's over 100 barbecue places in western Pennsylvania. But there's no barbecue, you know, in PA.
Yeah,
apparently.
Right. Now,
just like there's no craft beer, but we've got like 60 breweries.
Right. Now, I think we've asked you this question before, but it's been forever since you've been on. So, first of all, when you break down the 70 barbecue places, mm-hmm. are they different Texas versus versus Southern? I guess, you know, like what are the other styles? Like, well, like Kansas City is. Barbecue is.
I was waiting for Kansas City because you love Kansas City.
Oh, you know me. I love burn-ins, right? Yes.
So we have a great mix of every region, I guess you could say, in the United States is represented in Pittsburgh. You're going to find Virginians. You're going to find Carolinas. You're going to find, if you go out to Kansas City, there's even rumored of tri-tip going around Pittsburgh, which I'm trying to find. If anyone listening knows where I can find good tri-tip.
What's that?
So it, you usually find that out towards California. It's a big hunk of meat that's
three points.
So it's dry.
All right.
It's usually tough to find to purchase, but restaurants are starting to serve it because word's getting around. If you cook that low and slow, that's a really great piece of meat. And get a little char on that thing, it's fantastic. So I'm hoping to find that. But then there's also Central Texas style around here. And some restaurants say we are Central Texas. Like Spork Pit is very much Central Texas. If you look at Yinsberg, I almost said Yin's Love Barbecue. Yinsberg Barbecue. It's very strong Southern influence there. So we do have a mix of everything. And there's even a Pittsburgh style.
Well, that's, next question. Yeah, go ahead.
And you go over to Showcase Barbecue, and he says he's Pittsburgh style because he's 365. He's out there over his pits. You know, Drew's a great guy. Go out there and see him. He's cooking over charcoal, but he's got these great big pits. Nothing stops him. And that's Pittsburgh style. We cook through everything.
Oh, okay.
Because we're an area where, you know, it could be 32 degrees and we're wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And a sweatshirt.
That's me.
Yeah. So that's Pittsburgh style.
Yeah. I love it. And so, first of all, are you sponsored by Tums by any chance? Because
I should be, but no.
No.
And we have no keto affiliation or anything like that.
Now, on top of that, so not only do you write up about the places that are around, you make your own. You have your smoker, you have everything going, and on Instagram, people can watch the kind of styles that you're trying. And like here, you come down here, you could find. I think you could find a good piece of meat down here, right? Yeah.
I am so glad that this show is here, because when I walked in, it was meat galore. It was fantastic. There's a meat stand right next to us.
Right.
Which is great. There's a smoker right here, which is burning very clean smoke, by the way. Awesome job. And Teaspoon's with me. He's crushing some cheeseburgers. It's meat galore down here. And the other great thing, too, is not far from here is Heritage Craft Butchers.
Okay.
Which I have to watch because I want to see Craft Brewers because I had the brewing career. So
right. Yeah.
I got to watch all that. Heritage Craft Butchers actually got me to Washington first because they were over at the Washington Brewery, which Then I found out about the winery. It was like a little bit of a trickle down that I started to visit here more often because I found all these great things that
you
I like.
You need a summer home down here in Washington County.
I'm thinking that because there's a lot of land down here,
or
too,
barbecue
that I could
home.
Smoke.
Well, you know, some people call it a summer home. Yours would be a barbecue and craft beer home. But, yeah, I mean.
Well, I don't have a ton of space in Dormont, so I need something.
So, yeah, you looked around in inside the store here.
Gorgeous local meat. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I was definitely having a fanboy moment looking at all the meats here, looking at the meats at the table next to us, too. It's fantastic to see that we have all these options available to us now. It's not just like so you're not going to a grocery store that has just stuff brought in from national chains. This is locally sourced meat, which is awesome to see. And that's something that I want to expand with the site on is visiting some of the farms. I want to talk to the people that are raising the cattle, you know, raising the pigs, you know, providing all these meat sources for us and see exactly, you know, what goes into it, because people don't think of farming in Western Pennsylvania. Everyone thinks of Pittsburgh and Erie, but they don't think of what's going on in between. And there's a lot of farms.
Yeah, yeah. And so walk us through, because this is becoming grilling season, right? We're getting there. And
My favorite season.
Yeah, right. And so when you walk into a place like here, what are you looking at as far as meats? You know, I know, you know, people like filet mignon because there's no fat on it or whatever, right? And but we know
there's all the fun.
You know, and there has to be fat, but then we're marbled and aged and all these. If someone's out there looking for some pretty good hamburger meat, not just the 80-20, you know, at the Giant Eagle or whatever, what are we looking for if we want to have a decent but not over the top barbecue? What kind of meat?
The first thing I usually look at when I go into any store that sells meat is ribeyes. That's my cut of steak. I will take that over anything you serve me. You can put filet in front of me. I will take a ribeye. And I also do steak competitions, so I'm very snobbish about my ribeyes because I'm constantly looking at them and studying them to figure out how would I cook that? What rubs would I put on that? And that whole process goes through my head. But I always look at ribeyes. And then from there, though, when I'm looking for cookouts specifically, I know not everyone's going to want to eat steaks and all that. So if I'm going to do burgers, I do go 80-20, but I try to get locally sourced 80-20. And again, Heritage Craft Butchers, they changed the way that I look at local food because I got one of their essential packets that they sell. I think it was like $80. Gorgeous half-cut chickens. There were ribeyes that were in there. But the burgers that we had, the ground beef that they had, my entire family went, these are the best burgers you've ever had. They have such a strong beef, not overpowering beef taste, but you can tell the difference between that and then what you get at like a mass processed.
Is that
like,
right?
It's so good.
Okay.
If you get the chance, you have to get these burgers there. I love getting them. When it's a treat. That's what I get. Yeah.
I wish if you're listening to the podcast, I wish you could see Doug's face.
I'm glowing.
He is glowing talking about beef. And the cool thing is we literally just talked about how sunny it was 5 minutes ago, and it's now not. It's now hailing again.
And I'm not going to say those are snow clouds, but pretty close.
Right.
That's an eerie thing. Or I look up, it has snow clouds over there. Got to watch out for that.
Now, here's the other thing is as far as you think a place like this is a place, if you're looking for a particular cut of meat, is this the kind of place that you come to or the butcher when you're looking for your tri-tip? Can you work with a farm, a cattle raiser to get that kind of thing? Or what is
a lot of them,
like that
they offer packages where you could buy a full cow, a half cow.
Yeah.
And I learned today, you know, just from standing here, too, that if I want something, I can go in and ask for it, and they'll get it for me.
Okay.
And they'll give me the history behind it. Now, I'm not going to get, like, a bio on, like, you know, this is the cow Tom and stuff like that.
Grew up
which
around,
is like a Portlandia video. But the cool thing is they know their products in here, and that's the nice thing about going to the mom-and-pop stores is they know where the beef's coming from. They know where their products are coming from. And they'll tell you about the farmers. You're not going to get that if you go to a national chain or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Dude,
I love these kind of places.
There's so much to learn about it. Now, here's the other thing is, do you do the whole, when you're grilling a hamburger, how do you keep them? Do you do them rare or medium rare? And then do you do the whole old wives' tale thing of putting the thumb in the top so that, do you know that's what I'm talking about, putting your thumb
that's
in the top?
That's a whole nother podcast, but but to break it down easy, so I do have a flat top that I use at home also, 'cause I like to get the char on it. It's hailing now, by the way.
Yes, it is. It is.
There we go.
Look at these.
We've hit the fifth season of Pennsylvania.
This is crazy.
This is beautiful weather. So when I do my burgers, I'll usually do them on the flat top because I like to get a nice char on them.
Okay.
It's kind of like doing your smash burgers where you know, when you do those, you get that nice crisp char on it. I love that. But if I'm going to have a burger, I do push my thumb down in it because I don't want it to ball up. But honestly, with a lot of the locally sourced beef, I haven't really had to do that, though. Like, it just cooks well.
Okay.
And not well done, either. Like, I took mine to about medium rare.
Okay.
And even when I go out to restaurants, if I'm the guy that says, do you grind your own beef here, or do you get it brought in?
Okay.
And if they say that, no, it's brought in, whatever, then I'll get it done medium to medium well. But if they say, yeah, we grind it in the back, then, yeah, it's medium rare.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I know they're taking care of it.
Doug, this is always awesome to see you and Teaspoon hanging out here, your security guard, Teaspoon. And so tell us, where do they find you? What, Yin's Love Barbecue?
YinsLoveBBQ.com, Yin's Love BBQ on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. He got me onto TikTok. I'm like the old curmudgeon that was like, I ain't getting on no TikTok. And then my friend said, you know, there's barbecue videos, and now I'm totally sucked into it.
Yeah, so you're sucked in.
We're going to have more videos for that coming up. It's just search for Yin's Love BBQ, and you're going to find us. And the event map, or the event listing, has updated also. There's three steak competitions come up next weekend. And then we've got at least 10 more coming up. So we have the most amount of steak cook-off competitions in Pennsylvania happening this year. One of them is a tri event. It's a triple. So you have a chance to enter three steaks. Each one can win $1,000.
And you would suggest that we get in on this somewhere.
I would love to see you guys in on this.
Oh my God.
And the money goes to Children's Hospital.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. We have to get in on this.
So it's a great fundraiser. They've raised a ton of money for it. It is grill your ace off.
I love it.
When you win, you get this huge saw blade that says, like, first place, and you get a golden ticket to the World Championships down in Texas.
Get out of time. All right.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
We have to get Jagoff beer. We need to get Jagoff steak.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no question.
I would say, you know what? You need whiskey, too, to go with everything. You need beer. You need the whiskey. We can work on the barbecue. We've got a whole tailgate going
on. There's a cigar coming, too.
Oh, see.
So
I don't think I have room for a cigar on my shirt.
All right, Doug, before we let you go, when grilling and chilling, what's the side dish if you have a choice of one side dish, what's your one must-have side dish?
More meat.
More meat. Okay.
I'm a big fan of German potato salad.
Okay.
Part of my heritage.
You like warm. You like it warm.
My grandmother used to make great potato salad. My mom made it. She's still reluctant on giving me the recipe. But we're working on her for that. But I do love a great potato salad.
Okay. All right. Good.
Plus, you can't go wrong with baked beans that have brisket in it.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go. Doug Durda, thanks so much. Yin's Love Barbecue. We really appreciate you guys coming out of Washington County. All right, so our next guest is someone. Now, you had the opportunity to go to the Rage Room with us a few weeks ago.
I did.
And we missed each other there. So we were so mad that Tracy started smashing TVs. Like, I can't believe you didn't come. She just started smashing. But Jeremy Raymer, did I have this pronunciation right?
That's correct.
All right, so you are an engineer turned pop culture artist here in Pittsburgh.
You can say that, for sure.
And as we look at you down here in Washington County in front of the meat and cheese stand, we're like, hey, you got your paint all over your glasses still. It's like this.
Always got a bit of paint on.
Is that your signature?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. First of all, you have this pop culture art. We see it in big places, walls all over Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Most recently, Josh Gibson.
Yep.
And not only do you do people that people know, you do people that people don't know to tell the history
story.
Mother Jones, is it? Is
that? Mother Jones is down there, too. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing. How did you go from engineering to painting buildings? Take us through that story.
All right. Basically, in college, I got to take a few non-technical classes.
Okay.
I was always interested in art. Never really thought much about it. Never thought about going to school for art or anything. So I kind of just take them for fun. I took drawing one, took painting, took a history of art class, and then drawing two late in the semester. We were doing a group project where everyone was just sketching whatever. There was a smashed up paint can in the center room, still life. And when the teacher walked around, came to me, he's like, you draw like a painter. He's like, you should try painting. So I took a painting class and then, you know, had fun with it. I was okay. Just regular oil painting.
Okay.
Learn how to mix whatever. And then a few years later, fast forward 2 years, I was moving out to San Francisco to look for a job in bioengineering, what I went to school for. And I randomly took my oil paints with me. So I basically started August 2005. A lot of times then I do like obscure old-time engineers, scientists, Nikola Tesla, maybe not so obscure, but I was a big fan of his.
Okay.
Leon Theremin, kind of other people that, you know, I'd be interested in, but other people wouldn't be so interested in. Pop culture references then to Twiggy, Jerry Garcia, and basically just oil painted for a long time. Did a show here and there in San Francisco, nothing big, just like kind of like a local art collective. Moved back to Pittsburgh, continued to paint a little bit. I ended up going back to University of Pittsburgh for electrical engineering, continued to paint then. And then randomly in the mix, I went and visited my sister. She lives down in Boca Raton. And her and my now brother-in-law took me out to Wynwood, which is, you know, street art capital of U.S.
Okay.
Massive pieces everywhere. I'd never really saw anything like that. So I basically came home, bought my first cans of Montana Gold, and started teaching myself how to do murals scaled up. You know, 6 foot by 8 foot at first, you know, barely, not even 50 square foot. I was like, oh, this is huge. Went a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. Then I got up to 600 square foot and kind of started branching out from there and doing pieces all over town, and then got bigger and bigger and bigger. And over the course of a few years, I just celebrated my 5-year anniversary being self-employed. Actually, May 6th, 2021 was my 5-year anniversary.
How about you? Yeah. This is 5-year anniversary podcast at this point.
I know. That was random. He's 5 days.
5-year anniversary.
Yeah, he's 5 days apart from me. So that's really random. And, you know, at the time, 2016, I was a senior test engineer at Westinghouse, verifying safety system software for one of our nuclear power plant designs. And I went to my annual review meeting. It was kind of 50-50 at that point. And as soon as it started, I told him, you know, I'm going to resign and pursue my art full time. That was 5 years ago.
Good for you. Overnight. How crazy is that? Did your family go like, what is wrong with you?
Or
they knew your passion? They knew.
They knew I was passionate about it, but obviously not many people would give up the position I had. I was definitely in the best position I ever had and was on the fast track. I was going to be a principal engineer in 18 months, and maybe even a little bit down the road, I would have became a subject matter expert for this system I was tasked and I was in charge of. But, you know, they definitely know that I love it. I get more satisfaction out of painting a mural than I ever had. You know, I was actually awarded the George Westinghouse Signature Award of Excellence for my project management in designing like a self-automated testing system. So, you know, and just going out there and being able to connect with people, and the feedback I've gotten over murals is a million times more satisfactory than any engineering project I ever completed.
That's so cool. And so now that, you know, painting something on a canvas and transferring it to the side of a 3-story building, how do you do that process? I know in old days in the art school, you have to draw like squares and you take this square. This is what's in this square. Is that kind of it?
I've used the grid method before.
Okay.
Something that's a little bit more popular now, and just for whatever reason, as a doodle grid where artists will literally doodle all over the wall, but you have a reference to use to know where, you know, for me doing portraits, I know this is where the highlight of the eye is that crosses that doodle there and transfer the design that way. More often than not, if I'm able to, I'll take the reference image and I'll do an effect in Photoshop called thresholding, which basically looks at every pixel in the image and either binarizes it to white or black. So basically you can get a real little essence of someone's face. I'll project that onto the wall.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I'll trace that out, and that'll give me my guideline. And then I'll basically start blocking in rough tones, maybe look at 6 or 8 different skin tones, rough those in, and then start tweaking everything and adding a lot more detail and kind of my characteristic marks, a little bit of pointillism and cross-hatching.
And when you do these things, like, again, you go, like, we know Josh Gibson, Pittsburghers now, you know, starting in the last few years, becoming more familiar with the history and his place in Pittsburgh history. But what are the, when you do something like a Mother Jones or whatever, what are you doing? How long are you taking to sort of research into whatever they, he needs to get into the mailbox there.
Get in there.
What are you doing to research sort of the story behind these people? And how long does it take to do
that? Definitely that's part of the process now. You know, Wikipedia is great to give you a baseline bit of information. And then some of the other ones, especially for local historical stuff, Heinz History Center has been great. I was on the board there for the fundraiser for a few years, so I had some contacts there on occasion to reach out for reference materials and other info. And then also the archives through the University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Library is very good as well.
Oh, yeah. All right. And then do you ever get in touch with the families?
Yeah, fortunately, you know.
And that has to be a cool thing to sit with the families.
It is really, really interesting, especially for the Gibson mural, for instance. We were able to reach out to Sean Gibson, runs the Gibson Foundation, and be able to connect with him and get their approval. There's a few other ones coming up, another situation similar to that. And, I mean, it's amazing to be able to connect with these families and be able to create a piece and weave some Pittsburgh history into the architectural fabric and create a piece that kind of cements it there, at least for a period of time. And even if it ends up getting destroyed or whatever down the road, there's this archive of photographs. You know, fortunately now, more often than not, a lot of times quite a few people come out to see the pieces. And there's, you know, their memories and part of their own history with Pittsburgh.
I think we need to get Jagoff mural on the biggest wall. We have to figure out what the biggest wall there is in Pittsburgh and say, welcome to Pittsburgh, you Jagoff, or something like that. it's just so cool. And again, if you're listening to the podcast, make sure, because we will put the links in the show notes, because you have to go see your stuff. It's just not, it's, you know, when someone's listening to this, they might think like, oh, it's just a painting or it's some graffiti, but these are detailed. I mean, the pictures are awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't translate too well on Instagram. Definitely the power's in the size. And if anyone's interested in out there, I've put together a free digital download map, anyone and everyone to use. It's on my alternate Instagram.
Oh, is that right?
Raymer Art Tours, and it's right there. And that covers the city proper for the most part, which is about 75 of, maybe at this point getting close to 85 murals I've done. But you could walk it, bike it, run it, bus it, and see there's certain fragments. You know, maybe you're doing the Strip District one day, you could see 10 to 15 on an hour walk. If you're in Lawrenceville, same thing. You can almost see probably 20 to 25 in Lawrenceville, hour and a half walk.
What's your tradition when you finish one? Like, you're like, it's done, and you walk across. What do you have a tradition of something you do? Do you have a glass of wine?
The only thing I really do is the final photo where I, you know, now I'll point out my name, basically. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Okay. I love it, dude. And again, you're just making Pittsburgh look awesome.
You
know,
thank you.
And what other cities? You talked about Boca Raton.
Yeah,
you know,
I've been in Brooklyn. I was in Leavenworth, Kansas. I was in L.A. I've been in Palm Springs, Florida. I have wall space lined up in North Carolina I'm supposed to get to.
Do you have favorites? I mean, it's like asking a parent a favorite kid.
Anywhere. I would travel anywhere. You gave me a wall in Antarctica, I'll go there. And
Hey, we're going to do a podcast. If you get invited to that, you call us. We'll follow you to do a podcast from Antarctica. That's awesome.
It probably won't be as cold as today, actually.
Right. And literally, once again, it's like the running joke. It literally hailed and now it's sunny.
Yeah.
In between, everybody's getting the same experience during their interview now.
Yeah, it's been a little rainy the past few days. It's hampered progress on this current mural, but I'll be right back to it as soon as we're done here.
So the current mural is what?
About 85% done now.
Can people come watch you work on it?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I love people to come
during
out.
The day, what are you doing there?
For the most part, follow the Instagram, but, you know, with good weather, I've been there 10 to 6 most days.
Okay.
It's at Voodoo Brewery Homestead, 205 East 9th Avenue.
Okay.
Right across the Homestead Grays Bridge.
We should come out and tailgate that thing, too. That's awesome. All right, cool. Jeremy, it is a pleasure to meet you. And, you know, we love people that are doing good things in Pittsburgh. And just, I love the fact that you went out to San Francisco not to do arts, but came back.
I know.
You went out there
opposite.
To do bioengineering and came back here to do arts. I love that fact. And
it's definitely a unique time to be in Pittsburgh. We got a renaissance going on here. And there's been a lot of opportunity to be here and be able to do a lot of painting. So
yeah.
It's been good for me, for sure.
You're an first time I met you, but I can tell you you're an excellent representative of what Pittsburgh should be when we're out and about. The country, totally cool. Great to meet you. Rach wanted to meet you. She's going to be completely bummed out that she missed. So we'll have to have you on another podcast.
Certainly. I'd love to be back on.
All right. So the question of the day is, when you're grilling and chilling and having drinks, what is the one side dish that is, you can only have one side dish. What's the one side dish you must have?
Hard to pass up that cornbread.
Okay.
If we got some barbecue action going on and I got an IPA in my hands, definitely want that as the side for sure. I'm a huge barbecue fan, so.
Nice.
Definitely enjoy that.
Nice. Where does everybody find you on the internet?
You can find me at Jeremy M. That's for Michael Raymer on Instagram. That's the best and number one place to do. You could jump over to my alternate Instagram. My web store's there, and pretty much my main diary for what's going on and what I've done.
Nice. And if you need some bioengineering side work, call Jeremy as well. Just message him on Instagram.
I offer consulting services.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. So we are winding down the podcast, and we always like joke, but we feel bad because the musicians always get stuck as the last, but we try to make it as the musician is the headliner. And so the musician does most of the work because sometimes the musician hangs out with us and then just plays all of the interludes in between each guest. First of all, I don't want to be like the dad joking you at this point, but Jason Kendall has to be a great name kind of in Pittsburgh. Has anybody ever confused that there was a former baseball player going to show up at their party?
All the time. And Jason Kendall follows Jason Kendall, the baseball player, follows me on Twitter.
Oh, is that right?
But, a quick story for you. When I was in college, and this is Three River Stadium era.
Okay.
I got a job playing in, they had the Pittsburgh Pirates band where you'd show up and I play saxophone. So and we'd play on a dugout and you walk around the stadium when I went, they give you a Pirates hat and your little uniform. And they said, we have a rookie player on the team named Jason Kendall. So I got my picture with him then.
That's cool.
And through the years, because, like, my email address is my name, I've gotten emails from kids saying, I'm your biggest fan. Can you sign a baseball for me? And I'd be like, yeah, kid. It'll be a genuine Jason Kendall signature, maybe not the one you're hoping for. And even, like, playing in clubs, people have come in and it's fine. I don't mind. I'm a big Pirates fan, win or lose.
Yeah, and you have to be for sure, And, Jason Kendall, if he was a musician, wouldn't be the first Pirates person because Rachel's father has Johnny Angel's Ginchy stuff down on the north side. And I'm losing track of the name now, but two of the Pittsburgh Pirates recorded a country album years ago.
Yeah.
And he has the guitar and the album down there in his museum. So, Jason Kendall, what is possible? Maybe you guys could sing karaoke.
I know. My parents were going to name me Terry Bradshaw, but it just turned out I'm Jason Kendall.
So, you're a musician, studio musician. You just said you play guitar. You just said you play saxophone. And and you have Jason Kendall Productions.
Yes.
So, talk about the good news is this is your full-time job at this point.
It is my full-time job. I went to when I was a kid, I worked construction in the summers with my dad, all my brothers and I did. And I had an accident where my fingers were cut really badly with a power saw and reattached. And the doctor for therapy suggested that I start playing musical instruments to help my hands.
Get out of town.
So I started with piano lessons and I hated it. I wanted to go be out playing, riding bikes and stuff, but I got into it and my dad was a sax player. I learned sax and my other brother played guitar. I learned guitar. So instruments started as a therapy and then I started getting better and better at it. And I ended up with a music scholarship. And so for jazz saxophone and I got my degree. I taught music in public school for about 6 or 7 years. I taught music at I went back to school, got my graduate degree. I taught music at Penn State as an adjunct instructor for about 10 years, and at CCAC on the north side. And I love teaching, love working with young musicians. And kind of during that time, I started playing out more. And it developed into a business working with other musicians. And, being a full-time musician, playing different instruments helps because, mm-hmm. you're not limited to just one kind of thing. So you might get a call. You're going to play piano for a brunch, or you're going to play acoustic, or you're going to play a jazz trio at this club. I have a full band, so we do a lot of private events. We do several fundraiser events in Pittsburgh. Every year we're involved with like the Arthritis Foundation, with Best Buddies, with tons of events. The Children's Home, Hillman Cancer Institute.
Yeah, you have a whole list on.
We do a lot of those things throughout the year, and perform for them, and love being a part of the city. I work with a DJ as well. I play sax, and he plays turntables. We call it two turntables and a saxophone.
And that's cool.
Yeah, and the DJ actually he DJs for games, for the Pitt games and for Steelers games at the stadium. And so we get the chance to play for like sometimes like the Steelers a Christmas party for their families or different things, you know. So I just love being a musician in Pittsburgh. And it's, you know, there's not a lot of us, but I think it's everybody's, we always, the joke is everybody's played in different bands together at one time or another.
Everybody knows each other.
So,
yeah.
So it's a great community, and I'm really proud to be a part of it.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, Rachel's dad was a Motown drummer for years.
Yeah,
you know, and so he, and you
with
know,
Johnny Angel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jack. I love Jack. Yeah. I've done some events with him, over at the Meadows, for, Music Smiles, Sonny Pugar Memorial.
Okay.
And he's got some great stories.
Oh
man.
Yeah.
He played with Chuck Berry. He's got great Chuck Berry stories. Ask him some Chuck Berry stories sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and my favorite is always Rachel's story about meeting James Brown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, she went to an all-girls high school, mm-hmm. and we've told this story on the podcast before, but for your benefit, she went to an all-girls high school, and she went to school one day and was saying she met James Brown that, you know, whatever, the night before or whatever. And so the principal told her she was lying, brought her into the office and said, you know, we don't take lies here. So she called her mom and she says, your daughter's here saying she met James Brown last night. She's like, yeah, she did.
So, that's great.
You know, what a cool story.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, and so you see the music community in Pittsburgh. This is probably, is it better? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but to me as an observer, the music community in Pittsburgh seems to be better and stronger than ever, despite the COVID, you know, kind of, you know, end around here. But the fact is, everybody's clicking. We really are known for good original music at this point.
Yeah, yeah. The list of famous musicians and very important musicians, especially jazz musicians that came from Pittsburgh is you know, not something that most Pittsburghers realize, but, you know, Father Hines, you know, Billy Strayhorn, George Benson. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And there's so much great musical heritage from this town. And, you know, no matter where you would see live music, and I would put Pittsburgh musicians up there with, and I've been all over the country playing, and we have some of the best musicians in the country, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and again, I'm a weak observer just because I like entertainment, I like music, but just what I observe. So all right. So you talked about jazz. Is that your favorite? Is jazz your favorite?
I'd say saxophone is my primary instrument.
Oh, okay.
So I do love playing saxophone the most, and I love jazz music. I love, you know, folk music. I write all kind of music. I write classical music. I've done film score stuff before. So I you know, on any given day, if you ask me what my favorite kind of music is, it could be any kind of today I love Irish tin whistle music.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I love you know, Mozart. The next day I love James Brown. You know, I love it all.
Tell everybody where they find you online.
You can find me jasonkendallmusic.com, and if you go onto the site, you can access all of my original music. I did a rock opera about a musician from Pittsburgh. All that music is on there. Some of my film score stuff is on there. I do a lot of Christmas music as well. We have a big fundraiser with the food bank every year. This year it had to be virtual.
Yeah.
And partner with a lot of those great Pittsburgh musicians. But yeah, jasonkendallmusic.com. The band website is Jason Kendall Productions. Also Facebook, Jason Kendall Productions, Instagram, Twitter, all that. I haven't gotten into the TikTok
yet.
Maybe I'm not as hip, but
Need Doug Dirt's son to help you out with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And please let us know when all these other things are going on, because have you on the podcast to talk about it, or we're doing one of our Toyota tailgates, whatever. Just let us know so we can help help you promote it. And, all right, so our question is, you're grilling and chilling. What is the one? You can only have one. What is the one must-have side dish for you?
One must-have side dish? Well, that's a tough one. I'm a big fan of baked beans when I'm grilling.
Oh, okay.
Baked beans or corn on the cob.
That's a tough bracket right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Well, you get set up. I'll go ahead and do our ads. So, again, 145 North Main Street down here in Washington County. The city of Washington, great meats, as you heard Doug say, cheeses, all kinds of farm-to-table stuff down here. And you don't. If you miss today, well, it's okay because you come back. So we have to thank all of our guests, Jason Kendall. We have to thank Doug Durda. We have to thank Jeremy and, of course, Elisa and John. And, of course, we have to thank Roark Honda. The Roark advantages for the win. Seriously, when you get your free inspections, oil changes for life of the car, can't get anything better than the Roark Advantage. And that's for used and new cars as well. And, of course, Roark is very community-oriented as well. We're back to the parking lot shows. We're having musicians and comedians at Johnny Angel's Ginchy Stuff every couple of weeks during the month. You can check those out on yajagoff.com or roark.com for all of your vehicle needs.
Waited backstage to kiss a powder cake face. Laughing beat the man there in a glass that takes a dozen dirty roses and a tear-stained eye. Try to steal some heaven as the child die. Oh, where's the next dollar when the last one's spent? Spend my last dollar on last month's rent. Where's the next dollar when the last one's gone? How do you make it right when all your love's gone wrong? Where's the time to laugh and just remember the time? You're gonna make it, baby, hold on. I tore the filter off a cigarette I found in the street. Shared a match with the man from the catcher's knee. He quoted me some words from the book of John. He said, love one another. Oh, where's the next dollar when the last one's spent? Spend my last dollar on last month's rent. Where's the next dollar when the last one's gone? How do you make it right when all your love's gone wrong? Where's the time to laugh and just remember the time? You're gonna make it, baby, hold on. House sat empty till up under the planks. We found the money of a man who didn't trust the bank.